Well, once again, Merry Christmas. What a delightful night. It stopped raining, which is a good thing, but it's getting pretty cold. But that's okay. We're blessed to be together, and we will glorify the Lord throughout this service tonight. We had the 5:30 service tonight, and it was just magnificent. Really blessed all of us, and as we pray that the 11 o'clock will bless you. Well, the other night, Marilyn and I decided to take a time out from the Hallmark Channel. Everybody's watching the Hallmark Channel because there's great things on there that are all about Christmas. And we took a time out to watch It's a Wonderful Life. And when we were watching A Wonderful Life, I got to thinking that as George Bailey was shown what the world would be like if he had not been born, I started to think what the world might be like if Jesus had not been born. I got to tell you, the conclusion I came to was quite unsettling. Well, we most certainly would not be here tonight. We have nothing to do. We would not know one another. We would have no reason for us to be together. Nothing in common, and certainly nothing to celebrate. St. Andrew's would not be here. There would be no reason for St. Paul's Roman Catholic Church to build this building in 1939, because there would be no Roman Catholic Church. And there'd be no St. Paul, or no St. Andrew, or St. Paul, or St. John, or St. Peter. I said Paul twice, I know. I'm excited. None of them would have been important in history because they'd never met Jesus because he had not been born. The words Christian and Christianity would not have existed. And many of the social changes, medical enhancements, and additions that have come about through the ages through Christians might not ever have happened. I get the feeling that there would be a gaping hole in the world as we know it. There would be no missionaries to ever bring a message that would have not existed, a gospel that held no good news. I have to wonder what the religious makeup of the world would be. There would have been no crusades to save the Holy Land, to protect the Holy Land, and therefore Islam probably would have overrun the Middle East by leaps and bounds. The choices would have been most likely to be either a Jew or a Roman Gentile or some other kind of pagan. Think about it. I wonder what religious background you would be. As I said, it becomes somewhat unsettling. There would be no fulfillment of the many prophecies that foretold the virgin birth of God's anointed Messiah. We would have no New Testament, because there would be no miracles recorded, no parables or teachings of Jesus. Isaiah 53, which is rich in prophecies of the suffering servant, would not be fulfilled, and the world would still be waiting for his coming. There'd be no Holy Communion, no sacrifice on the cross that would bring forgiveness of sins, restoration, and reconciliation of a relationship with God the Father, Yahweh. Since there was no crucifixion and death of Jesus, there'd be no glorious resurrection on the third day from a borrowed tomb, and certainly no hope of resurrection for any of us. There'd be no opportunity for a personal relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, because there would have been no tearing of the temple veil upon Jesus' last breath. It would certainly cause a sense of aloneness in the world, with no means of spiritual guidance except what we can supply for ourselves. Would there even have been a Middle Ages or an Industrial Revolution, bringing people to the cities and a desire to grow beyond medieval life? Would the new world even been found, since for the most part, people came in search of religious freedom from persecution. Take a look at our own family trees. How would they have been shaped differently? And because of what would have been here in place, I mean, I have to ask you, would we be here? To be sure, our lives would be vastly different. But my friends, I've got to tell you, the truth is this. He was born. And every one of those magnificent prophecies have come true. Jesus did meet the apostles, and he did preach the truth, leading to his crucifixion, death, and resurrection, allowing us to know that believing in him brings us to everlasting life with him. He gave us the Holy Spirit, who makes a personal relationship with Almighty God possible, feeling his love, mercy, and compassion when we repent and ask for his forgiveness. When Jesus of Nazareth was born in Bethlehem, he split time in two, BC and AD, and allowing those of us who are called Christians to acknowledge and cherish the rich Holy Scripture and tradition of the Old Testament, all the way from Genesis to Malachi, and our Jewish heritage from Abraham right to today. We sing tonight, thank you, Gray. We sing tonight and celebrate the magnificent miracle of Jesus' birth, the angels announcing his coming, and the shepherds getting the opportunity not just to hang out in the fields, but they witnessed the simplicity of the manger where he lay. Do you know what a manger is? It's a feeding trough. Our Lord left a throne in heaven to come down and lay on hay in a feeding trough. He loves you that much. Now, I could go on and on because there's so much more to say. But I need to let the words of a sermon that was preached on July 11th, 1926 by a pastor named Dr. James Allen Francis. I want what he wrote to say the rest. And he spoke these words. He was born in an obscure village, the son of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he became a wandering preacher. He never wrote a book, never held an office. He never had a family or owned a house. He didn't go to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of those things which usually associate with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. He was turned over to his enemies and went through a mockery of a trial. He was executed by the state. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing, the only property that he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the central figure of the human race and the leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as that one solitary life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.